a long one. Our text for today is a lengthy section dealing with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It is filled with many possibilities for sermons and discussions, but I am struck with two aspects of the text, waiting and weeping. First, the waiting. The story begins with the message sent by Lazarus' sisters, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." They didn't have to say who it was. They were such close friends that they knew Jesus would know who they were talking about. But his closeness makes what happened even harder to understand. Jesus waits. He doesn't seem to be moved by the information that his good friend is ill. The idea that Lazarus' sickness would merely provide a sermon illustration for Jesus must have blown Mary and Martha away. It was as if Jesus said, "Lazarus is sick, so what? No big deal. It's just something that God will use for his own glory." And Jesus waits two full days before beginning the two-day journey to Bethany. Jesus loves not only Lazarus, but Martha and Mary as well. We are surprised then that he delays his departure for 2 days. Even if he has the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, Mary and Martha will grieve for Lazarus if he dies. If Jesus can spare them that, why does he not do so? There are two reasons. First, Jesus could not have arrived in time to prevent Lazarus' death. He delays only 2 days before going to Bethany, but by the time he arrives in Bethany, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Had Jesus departed immediately, 2 days earlier, Lazarus would still have been dead 2 days before Jesus arrived in Bethany. Second, as much as Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, the illness has a godly purpose. It is for God's glory so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus' delay serves to heighten that glorification by removing any possibility that Lazarus is in a mere coma. When Jesus finally arrives in Bethany, Lazarus will have been dead 4 days. There will be no ambiguity about Lazarus' death, Jesus' miracle, or God's involvement in this process. Whatever the reasons were for waiting, we can readily see that the sisters of Lazarus did not appreciate Jesus' attitude. They were looking for Jesus to be the kind of friend who drops everything to come and stand with them in their pain. They didn't want a lecture. They wanted someone to suffer with them, to help them. Each sister in turn took Jesus to task for his tardiness. They wanted to be kind to Jesus, whom they loved, but they just couldn't help themselves. They both blurted out the identical words, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Surely they both rehearsed this before going to say to Jesus when he finally appeared. Martha says exactly the same words in verse 21 as Mary says in verse 32. I can certainly identify with the waiting of Martha and Mary. How many times have we waited for just like they did? Why isn't Jesus here when we need him, we say. Why doesn't God hurry up and do something? Where were you, Jesus? Where were you on September 11th? It is my feeling that something critically important happens to us when we are waiting. Life is lived while we wait. Faith is proved while we wait. Hope is tested while we wait. Mary and Martha were not the last to wait for Jesus, and neither will we be the last. And now comes the weeping. When Mary broke down in tears for him, Jesus asked, "Where have you laid him?" And when he stood in front of the tomb, John says, Jesus began to weep. He must have wept out loud and long, and those who saw it were moved to say, "See how he loved him." We knew immediately why Mary and Martha were weeping. Their brother had been dead for 4 days. Their tears were those of grief. Those tears we all understand. We too have stood by the graveside and poured out our heart in great tears. We have cried because we cannot help but cry. Our emotions seem to take over our bodies, and the tear ducts open and water flows. Why did Jesus cry? Here are some of the reasons offered by various theologians. First, some argue that Jesus was crying for the crowd because of their lack of faith. He looked deep into their hearts and realized that they did not understand him or his mission. He was weeping for the crowd because they didn't believe in him. Or, some say Jesus was weeping because he hated to bring Lazarus back from heaven. He knew that heaven was a wonderful place, and he was crying because he had to bring Lazarus back to earth to show his glory. 3. Others say Jesus was weeping tears of rage at the evil of death and sin. He grieved because of the sinfulness of humans and the death that followed that sin into the world. Many say that Jesus was weeping for himself. He was crying in anticipation of his own death. He knew that the miracle he was about to do would inflame the situation in Jerusalem and turn the Pharisees against him. And, in fact, John says that's exactly what happened after the miracle. He was weeping because he was thinking about his own coming death on the cross. Now, all these are suggestions, and we must remember that they are only suggestions because John does not make it clear why Jesus wept. Certainly, any of these could have been the very reason that Jesus cried. But I want you to notice that all of these suggestions rely heavily on the divine nature of Jesus. They all assume that Jesus had special knowledge of the future, of heaven, and the inner thoughts of the crowd. I don't believe in any of those four reasons because no human being would ever cry for any of those reasons. If Jesus cried for any of those reasons, then none of us mere mortals can really understand or identify with the tears of Jesus. That is, I will never cry because I can see the future. I never will cry because I understand all about heaven. I will never cry because I can read other people's thoughts. If that's why Jesus was crying, then he is far, far from being like me. Do you picture Jesus as a human like us or divine like God? I want to believe that Jesus experienced this life as much like me as possible. I lean heavily upon Philippians. There Paul writes of Jesus Christ, who, existing in the form of God, didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. That's why I believe he cried for a fifth reason. I believe he cried because he cared. He cried for the same reason that we cry at funerals. He grieved for Mary and Martha. Jesus loved them and Lazarus. He grieved that Lazarus had died. He identified with their pain and he understood their tears. That's what friends do. They cry when you cry. And I can take comfort in this reason for Jesus' tears. It tells me that God still identifies with people who are hurting. When we cry, God cries too. There's a story of a little girl who came home late from school one day. Her mother was furious and went on and on for 5 minutes, ranting and raving at the girl. Finally, she stopped and asked, "Why were you late anyway?" To which the girl replied, "I was helping another girl." "What did you do for her?" asked the mother. "Oh, I just sat down beside her and helped her cry." I believe in those simple words, Jesus began to weep. And I believe they reveal as much about Jesus as all the other words ever said about him. He weeps for all who pray for God to come and nothing happens. He weeps for all who face a tragic experience in their life and send a tearful why toward heaven. He weeps for those who have hard questions. He weeps for those who do not walk quietly to death's dark door. He weeps for those who ask for a miracle and do not get one. Here is not a picture of a God who is immovable, unemotional, or uninvolved. Here is a God with a weeping heart. Here is the Lord of the universe with tears in his eyes. For me, it is important to believe that Jesus understands what life is like for us. He knows my temptations. He knows that I will be, he knows what I like, will, he knows what it is like to be fully human just like me, yet he did so without sin. He knows my suffering, my disappointments, my problems, and my questions. And more importantly, not only does he know, he understands. He has literally walked in my shoes, and because Jesus knows and cares, I know that God knows and cares. Suffering is a way of isolating us. When we cry, we cannot help but think that we are the only ones to ever experience such pain, and we feel alone. We think no one else feels our pain or knows our grief. But Jesus' tears tell us that there is someone we can lean on for strength, for wisdom, and for comfort. In our confusion, Jesus is there for us. While we wait, he waits with us. In our sorrow, he holds us. I visited the bombed-out federal building in Oklahoma City where 168 people died needlessly and senselessly. Across the street, there stands a memorial. At the heart of this memorial is a 9-foot-high statue of Jesus. Now, this is not a statue that is a stony Jesus with arms wide open. No, this is a 9-foot-high statue of Jesus with his face in his hands, turned slightly away from where the acts of terror took place. And the plaque reads, "And Jesus wept." For thousands and thousands of mourners and survivors, that image of Jesus has brought resurrection and hope and new life. It is a pillar of comfort for all who pass by. What does Jesus do for us? He sits down beside us and he helps us cry. And sometimes that's all we really need.